Okay, we're on Test Zion Ahmed Bey's 16B at the two dots at the bottom. Omer Avohu, Omer Rav Yochanan, Motzi Shtarcho Bashuk. If you find an IOU in the marketplace and you want to know what you should do with it, you can either give it to the lender or the borrower. If you give it to the lender, he would be able to collect it because it owes money. If you give it to the borrower, then it won't be collectible. Now, this document you found, Afo Pisha Kasubo Henpek, it has the court seal that it's a good, that it's a verified document. You shouldn't give it back to the lender. Lomui boy hekudalo kasubo henpek. Certainly, if it's not a legitimate document, it's not confirmed that it's legit. The ikala meimar, because maybe it was written to borrow and he never actually borrowed with it. But even if it was written a henpek, which means it was actually used. And what is the henpek? Manihu demekuyim. It has a kiyim, meaning the basin confirmed it. Lo yaksir. Why the chashinin l'shat l'parayin? We're afraid that if you give it back to the lender will collect with it, and it may have been paid by the borrower. And it's also suspicious that if the lender had something so valuable and it wasn't paid, what's it doing in the marketplace? A receipt. I mean, after it was paid, it's worthless. So that's. But if you give it back to the lender, you. The number one rule is don't do harm. And so if you give it back to the lender and it was already paid, he could potentially harm the borrower, so you shouldn't do that. Something gets confirmed by Beis and you do give back, so that's a contradiction. Not everything made in court is the same. When is it that you wouldn't trust the borrower that he paid? The borrower is a confirmed liar. He always says, I paid it already. Then you don't believe him. Amarav Mashum Dehuksa Kafrin, just because he lied once before, does that mean he never paid it? Klal? I mean, he must have paid it sometime. We're talking about the kind of documents that are not IOUs, which if you give them back, you could potentially cause a lot of harm to someone until you research it more. But we're talking about different kinds of documents, seizure documents. Kedir Zera. And therefore, it doesn't really prove much about our debate whether is it harmless to give it back to the lender, or are you or is it possible they were paid and you shouldn't give them back? Now, we mentioned this subject though, that once somebody's been proved a liar, that hurts his case. Vikafrin, once we mentioned this liar, Asaliyado Sanemu Bemelsa, I'll tell you something about it. So he said like this. There are two cases. One case is where the court orders a person to pay, say tenlo. The court gives an order that you must pay the other person, the Omar. And then time goes by and you claim, I did pay him. So Neman, you, the person who claimed he paid him, is believed if he's willing to swear that he paid him. Ba malva liktov. If the lender wants to have it written down that he owes him, ain't kosvenosinlo, because again, we give the borrower a chance to swear that he paid. It's the lender's word, the borrower's word against the lender, and it's possible he paid, so we let him swear to that. But if the court never obligated the borrower to pay, the court said, "Chayvatali," it looks like you're guilty, but it wasn't the actual order, and that he said he paid, ainu nemun. That he's not believed, and ba malav liktav, and if the lender wants it in writing, we'll give it to him the right to collect. Rizvid Mishmeid Reb Nachman, he says, no, bein tsev itein lo, whether the court said pay him, bein chayev, or they think you'll be obligated, but they didn't give him a formal permission to collect yet. And he says, I paid, he's believed. Because in both cases, basically, we believe a person who if it's just an oral argument, my word against yours, and he's willing to swear, we believe him. But if the lender wants a written name, kosa nosa, though, because we're believing the borrower with the shvua that he paid. How do I know it's with the shvua? Tap Rashi Nemun uba shvuas hesis, as Rashi says with an oath. So ee kaliflug, and if there are two different cases, so do we differentiate between pay him or you're obligated? So we're saying both of those mean pay him. But if you want to differentiate between cases, I'll tell you what cases you can differentiate. Omer lo, tain lo. If the court says, pay him, and he says, I did, and witnesses testify, shelo para. Now, Rashi explains the cases that the lender came to the borrower with witnesses and said, okay, the court ordered you to pay. I've got witnesses here, pay, and he doesn't. So then we don't believe him. And he's not believed about that because he had the opportunity to pay, and he had the opportunity to pay with witnesses. On the other hand, if it said, you're going to be obligated. And he says, I paid. And the witnesses testify that they came once and he didn't pay. So that doesn't establish that he's a liar for that money. My time, why didn't he pay at that moment? Because as long as he had more time, he wasn't going to pay. In other words, even though they said, it looks like you're going to be guilty, they said chayev, but until they formally ordered him to pay, he still might deny it. Sover ad demainu bei rabbanim medin, until the rabbis get around to writing the people only pay at the last possible moment, sometimes when they're having cash flow issues, when they really got to pay. Amar Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, manuli biyadcha. What happens if someone says, you have my money, you owe me money, and the guy says, no, I don't. They mean Soshieshlo, and witnesses testify that he lied, that he did borrow money. The Choser, and then he says, yeah, it's true, I did borrow, but and not paid, so it's too late. He already said before, I didn't borrow. So if before you said you didn't borrow, we don't believe you to say you paid. He's a liar. He's established a liar about that. He hide the Shapsai Beredi Marinus, like Shapsai, the son of Marinus, Kosov Lele Kalasa. When his daughter-in-law got married to his son, he promised in the marriage documents, Itzla de Milsa, that he would give her a valuable wool kind of garment in the Ksuva. The Kibo Leah, and he accepted to pay for it. Irksas, the Ksuva was lost, and they asked him to, when they wanted to rewrite it, did you obligate yourself to give her this valuable thing? And he said, no, it never happened. And then witnesses came, and we were at the wedding, and yes, he did promise her that. So then he said, I gave it to her already. So in this case, now he's proven a liar. See, if he says he never committed to it, we don't believe him to turn around and say, well, I guess if I'm forced to admit I committed to it, now I'll tell you I paid. You don't get a second chance to come up with another thing. He's hooks a kafrin. He's already established that he isn't keeping his word on this issue. Omer Rav Avin, Omer Eloy, Omer Rav Yochanan, Hayachayv L'chaver Shvua. Let's say you're obligated to swear. There are different cases that you're obligated to swear. Let's say you're a shepherd and you watch someone's sheep and you say, I got bad news, the fox ate it. So you got to swear. And Omar, and you said, I did swear already. And witnesses testify, we came to you and gave you the chance to swear and you didn't. So then that proved, if he didn't swear when he had the opportunity, so he's a liar about that shua. Just like that, we had a similar concept before. This din of Rav Abin is in a case where he's obligated to swear in court. And so since he's obligated and he had the chance, we don't believe him to say that he swore because he denied he had the chance and he didn't do it. Avol chayev atzmu. But what happens if he wasn't obligated to swear in court? He just said to himself he would swear. And so sometimes avid inish demikri v'omer adrukam. Sometimes people do it where they change their mind, or when you ask them to swear they won't. So the fact that he denied that he would swear doesn't prove that he didn't swear. He just at that particular moment didn't agree to do it. I also said, I was talking about where he promised to swear in court. Not where he promised to swear in court, but where he was obligated to swear in court. In the name of Rav Yochanan, and he says, I did. And we can prove that when we were in court, he didn't swear. So now he's proven a liar. Omer Rav Yochanan, motzi shtar chov b'shuk. What happens if you find a IOU in the street, in the marketplace? V'kasa bo henpak, and it's confirmed. V'kasa, and it has a date and everything. But the date is today. So you can assume it wasn't paid yet. You can give it back to the owners. If maybe he meant to borrow it and he didn't borrow, it has a henpeck on it. It's confirmed. imishum peroin, and the other reason you don't always give it back is because maybe it was paid periya basyom lo chashinim. People don't typically pay the same day they take the loan. He wouldn't bother taking out the loan today if he was going to be able to pay it later. Is that always true that people don't pay the same day? Didn't we say the following din of Rav Yochanan? Shtar shalavivo para. Let's say you borrowed some money and then you paid up, and now you want to use it again. Ein chozer, you can't use it. You can't recycle the document and borrow from the same person the same document. Why? Shikbar nimkul shibuda. Once it's been paid up, this same paper, this same document, doesn't have the power to be used for the same loan. So what's the case? Ilam ulamacher, if he wants to use the same document for a different day, ulyom chora, another day, why do you have to say the reason it's no good is because this IOU document was used up, tefekle dabe muktum. It comes out it was predated because this document was paid up on one day. Of course you can't use it on a different day, but tinan shayim mukdami psulim. A predated document's no good. So the only way I would think you could recycle it would be on the same day. And still we say you can't use it. Why? Because para inish b'yom. Sometimes people pay on the same day. So we see that that does happen. Amalei, he answered back, mi kamin delo, did I say it never happens? I meant delo shkiach inshi. It does not that common. We don't have to assume it happened, kamin. So therefore, and you're allowed to give it back to the lender because it's very unusual that it would be paid, not that it's never happened. Rekana Oma Keshechai Mod. He says the borrower admits that he paid and he wants to borrow again. So then, of course, you can give it back. Myla Meimar. I would have thought Hadapara, hi, Pora Mifra, really, this document was already paid off. Why does he say give it back? Why does he say he didn't? Mishum de Kiboy Mahader. He wants to reuse it, and he wants to save the money that it costs to write to pay for the scribe, the Pshita Yosef Rechayish. Kamash Malan, that we don't say that. Deim Kain, because if that were true, Malva Gufa Lo Shabak, the Malva is not going to take a chance to save the money for the scribe to use a document that's already been paid off. Savar Shimu Bei Rabban, the rabbis will find out that I'm playing games like this. He's trying to, instead of bothering to write a new document, want to save a little bit of money for the cost of the scribe. Umafsi, they won't let me collect with this. So in this case, we're not afraid to give it back because we can assume the lender would not have let him borrow again with the old document. So the Morris said, well, but there is another case. We said, if you find an IOU, and it's leadable, you shouldn't give it back. And we said, even with the borrower, it's good, because maybe the document was written in earlier, and he never borrowed until later. And if you give it back to the lender, he might end up taking it away from people, it might take away from liens, menisa natisha shalokidin, from earlier borrowers, from earlier people that did business with the borrower. And over there, we don't say the malva is not willing to take the risk. Do we say that a lender will sometimes use a document that isn't 100% to save a little money? And over there, we seem to say that he will sometimes use a pre-document. Instead of saying, do a new document. We don't say he's afraid of the rabbis and losing his reputation. What's the difference? The Gemara answers, in that case, to Islay Ravka, there he would benefit by having a predated shtar. If it's predated 6 months earlier, so even though he knows he's playing with fire because he's using an illegal document, and if the rabbis find out, there goes his reputation, but he might take the chance because that gives him more opportunities to collect the Katar of Lakukas, Menisa Natishrei, so Menach Nikolai. So he will take a chance on using a recycled document if he has a benefit. He won't say anything. But over here, where it's recycled that day, he has no benefit whatsoever to use a recycled document. The so shtar index, if it's written with today's date, ma'ika guitar of lakukas basharshin vishibudo, so to use a bad document for no benefit to him, the lender wouldn't agree to do it. Lo shavik. So again, that if it's predated 6 months early, it's possible a lender would agree to use a document that's not valid if it gives him a benefit. But over here, where there's no benefit to the lender, he's not going to take a risk. Last line. There are certain things that Beis Din required people to pay. That are, a husband has to pay a ksuva, certain things that Beis Din requires people to pay. Now, what happens if somebody said they paid it already? They just don't have witnesses. Lo amar klum. We don't believe them. My time at Kol Maisa Beis Din, because if you have something that the courts require, it's as if there's a deed that requires it, and you need proof, otherwise you're going to have to pay it. Kanakat Sharba Yadadam, but he says that this actually is a Mishnah. Hotzi get, if a person gives a divorce to their wife, but he doesn't pay the ksuva, she still can collect the ksuva. Omerle, Ilav the Dalei Chaspa, he said, had you not removed the shirt, I wouldn't have found the diamond underneath it. That's an expression that he, the pearl underneath it. He's trying to say, what is the pearl underneath it? I would have thought the reason that you have to pay the ksuva is in some places they didn't write a separate ksuva. It was automatic when you paid the get, that's the ksuva. But if they write a ksuva and she doesn't have it, I would have thought you can only collect if you actually have the ksuva. Inaka ksuva gova. If she holds the ksuva, she can collect ilo lo gova. So Hadar Mabai Lav Milsi Damri. He then changed his mind. Because had we been talking about such a case where they didn't write a ksuva, but if they actually wrote a ksuva, I would have said, Inaka ksuva gova. Only if she has it, she can lay ilo gova. Amanam and Erison. There's another case where a woman's entitled to ksuva, and there, for sure, they didn't write one. That's if a person is widowed from just engagement. In those days, they got engaged, which is like half of the beginning of marriage, and then they had the chasna later. So if her husband dies or gets divorced, she's entitled to ksuva there, and so she isn't actually given a ksuva. So we see that there's a concept of collecting ksuva without a document. But my gova be'ena misis abal. If she can prove her husband died or gave her a divorce, she can collect. Why can she collect? Why can't the heirs to the estate say, we think our father paid you? Maybe they could. So then, why would the sages institute that you have to give the fiancé a ksuva if anyways it can't be collected because the other side can always say it was paid? Where do we know that this is true, that a widow from just engagement is entitled to ksuva? Ilema is the source. There it mentions that a widow, even from just engagement, can collect it all. Maybe that's a case where he wrote it. It's always optional to write a ksuva. How do we know the sages required it? The key tamer, and if you want to say, well, of course, when he writes it, you can collect it. What is there to say? She's showing the ksuva. That might be excluding the opinion of Elazar ben Azariah, the Omar. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, even when you write a ksuva for a fiancé, you're only writing it on the condition that she eventually marries you. All those promises are that she shows up at the wedding. It's reclaimed. So therefore, we need to tell you that, no, actually, they agree with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion that she's entitled, even if she doesn't go through with Nisuin, that just a widow, from the fact that she accepted the engagement, she's entitled to ksuva. The Tani go is a kol. We'll stop here.